helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. With all of the talk about the rigging of the 2020 election and the January 6th response, there's one aspect of that day that seems to have gotten very little attention. As more information comes out about the alleged pipe bombs outside the DNC and RNC headquarters, one has to wonder, why has this story turned out to be like treated like an ugly stepchild? With the recent success of election propaganda, the manipulation of ballots, and the tricky processes around their collection and counting, no one should be surprised that those in office are working hard to bribe, collude, and generally steal the next one. However, the means they are willing to go to should also show us just how desperate these people are to convert the United States from a republic into an oligarchy. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution, teach a rising generation, be free. I'm glad you could join me today. You know, yes, we're generally talking about the election. We're going to talk a little bit about the 2020 election, or more accurately, some of the stories we may not have heard about the 2020 election. But we're also going to look at the upcoming 24 election and kind of see what's going on. And hopefully, once we blow away the fog and mist of rhetoric, we can get a better idea of what's happening and how we should actually deal with it. You know, the whole idea of elections, I find kind of an interesting social study. There are those who think that all we have to do is make elections easier. If it's easier to vote, we'll get better outcomes. This led to things like the voter laws and finding everything we can do to make sure people can vote, and frequently to the detriment of making sure that only people who are legally allowed to vote can actually vote. It's a classic example of quantity over quality. And in all of this, I rarely hear people talking about the duty we have to vote. See, I remind people that the United States is a republic. We elect our representatives, people who exercise our power in our name. And to me, that's a very important responsibility. It's a duty of the American people. And the fact that so many Americans just can't seem to be bothered, well, it disturbs me. Now, to some extent, I understand. We've watched the system get so manipulated and convoluted and confusing that a lot of people don't believe they have a say in their government anymore. I have an article coming out soon where I actually go through the process of how we elect a president of the United States, mainly because what I hear most people expressing isn't right. Sometimes it's just a little off, sometimes it's completely wrong. And it's important that we understand the process of elections. But it's also important that we understand how those elections are handled and that we oversee how those elections are handled. Because if we're not accurately collecting the votes of the people, then the people are not electing their representatives, and we are no longer a republic. Now, while I'm sure many of you are tired of hearing about January 6th and everything that went on there, there's been a story, and this story has been around for a while. I haven't focused very much on it because there's a lot of new information coming out. And I kind of wanted to get a better view of what was going on before I started telling you everyone here. I didn't want to go off half-cocked. I wanted to make sure I had some data. And the data, well, let's just say the data keeps getting more and more interesting. You know, kind of like that Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times. Now, with all the focus and attention on the Capitol on January 6th, it seems almost forgotten in many places the fact that there were allegedly pipe bombs found outside the Democratic National Committee headquarters and the Republican National Committee headquarters. I don't know about you, but I would think that would have been pretty important national news. You mean there are bombs outside of these? And things get stranger and stranger. Now, again, I'm always on the alert for conspiracy theories. I have a simple motto. When you hear hoofbeats, think horses, not zebras. So, you know, a lot of people will see a set of circumstances and come up with a very exotic answer to it that may or may not be true. However, more often than not, it seems to me it's the simpler answer that comes forth. And here's where life gets interesting. So here we are. It is now, well, it's March 2024. So we're talking a little over 3 years after the January 6th incident, January 6th, 2021. And some new video has come out. And the, you know, the video shows a car pulling up next to the DNC headquarters in Washington, D.C., about 9:45 in the morning. A uniformed officer with a what's assumed to be a bomb-sniffing dog enters the frame, talks to the driver. The driver complies. The dog sniffs inside and out of the car, and then the car is allowed to enter the parking garage. The man and the dog exit back out of frame and seems pretty innocuous, right? Well, except for just one tiny, itty-bitty little detail. See, in a few hours, another uniformed officer is going to, I believe it was uniformed officer, no, sorry, plainclothes officer, is going to discover what's believed to be a pipe bomb planted right there. All right, now the bomb wasn't in the car. The bomb was on a bench right next to where the car was. The dog apparently walked right by this supposed bomb. And, of course, that's just one of a bunch of anomalies that have come out of the ongoing reporting of what's going on here. You see, there was a Secret Service detail assigned to Vice President, well, they call her Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. She wasn't legally Vice President-elect because Congress had not, or I should say the President of the Senate had not had the votes counted yet. So it was a fait accompli. It just hadn't actually happened. But you see, Ms. Harris was inside the DNC headquarters. So you have a sitting senator who I would have thought would have been over at the Capitol because she's supposed to be there to witness the counting of the ballots. No, not the certification. The Congress doesn't certify the election for president. I go into that in the article. But you think she'd be there. Add that to the fact that she is going to become the first black female vice president this country's ever had, you'd think they'd be making a big shindig about it over there. No, she was in the vice president. There was a Secret Service detail, and they didn't find this bomb, quote-unquote bomb. Now, the other thing is the bomb outside the RNC headquarters, again, quote-unquote bomb. I say alleged bomb because this just smells bad. The bomb outside the RNC headquarters was found by a government contractor that had ties to the FBI. And of course, we've never seen the FBI play politics. We've never seen them create dangerous situations to deal with political enemies. No, we've never seen that. Now, law enforcement officials have repeatedly referred to these as highly dangerous bombs. But apparently they couldn't have detonated because they had these cheap kitchen timers. You know, the 1 hour kitchen, you know, egg, we used to call them egg timers. You know, the kind that you can only set up to an hour, which is interesting since if these were supposedly set the night before and were supposed to detonate at 1 p.m, how do you do that with a timer that only does an hour? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong about the 1 hour thing, but it just seems kind of strange. But they describe them as highly dangerous, yet they've got these cheap kitchen timers and apparently dogs just don't, you know, bomb-sniffing dogs cannot sniff a pipe bomb if it's attached to a cheap kitchen timer. It also gets stranger. See, people have been looking, they want to see the cell phone data. Hey, we want cell phone data. Maybe we can figure out who actually planted these devices. I guess I'll call them devices, not bombs. Who planted the device? Cell phone data, right? But for some reason, that cell phone data has been deemed corrupted. We can't get that. Now, the FBI obtained a geofence warrant to obtain cell phone data from Google. But apparently that geofence warrant never included the Capitol Hill neighborhood where these places were on the night of the 5th, the time that the bomb was supposed to apparently be planted. So you're asking for a geofence warrant except for the time when you expect to be planted? We've got the FBI assistant director that's leading this stalled investigation. Yeah, he was also the one in charge of the fake Governor Whitmer kidnapping plot, which again brings into a lot of questions. And there's an FBI whistleblower that has testified under oath that the bombs weren't operable. Now, apparently, this again would maybe supported by the fact that not only did the bomb sniffing dog not trigger on these, but we see authorities, we see law enforcement officials allowing children to cross the street after this device had been discovered, right toward the bomb that was discovered. Now, you would think if you found highly dangerous devices, you might set up a perimeter and say, hey, let's not let little children come over near where this highly dangerous device is. Now, I find this really interesting. See, the very same DOJ that has tracked down 1,300 defendants across the country for being near the Capitol on January 6th doesn't seem capable of finding whoever planted these devices outside of the DNC and RNC headquarters. And that the FBI and other communication, government's communication about what happened on those days, they're mysteriously disappeared. Some reporting say the FBI said, well, we transferred devices and oops, the information got lost. Now, if I look at the totality of the information, do I know what happened with the devices on January 6th? No. There is enough reasonable doubt in here to believe that possibly the FBI and the Secret Service and the Capitol Police and the DC Metro Police are all absolutely incompetent. Completely incompetent. It's also quite possible that these devices were not real devices. They were stage parts. They were props. They were used to set a stage. But then, if they were used to set a stage, where's the play? We don't know. We don't know what law enforcement was doing in large part because that communication has been corrupted. But what we do see is a I'll say a law enforcement doesn't seem to be terribly interested in finding out what was going on with those bombs, assuming they truly are bombs and not simply, when they, it's like when the TSA runs tests, right? They'll put fake firearms in baggage and see if the screeners pick it up, stuff like that. Could be that these were devices that were meant for a test. And oops, we forgot to pick them back up. And of course, the officer there the dog didn't sniff it because there wasn't actually an explosive in it. But then the officers saw it and they set a perimeter around it, but not a very strong perimeter because it let people come in. There's a lot going on here. And it's one of the reasons why I've taken so long to actually spend much time on it, because there's enough doubt here to float a battleship. And I don't like coming in with just guesswork and doubt. But I think there's enough here to say something fishy is going on. Does it involve the Secret Service and the FBI? We don't know. Does it involve the Capitol Police and the Metro Police? We don't know. Does it involve the actual political parties? We don't know. And the fact that it appears that so few in the law enforcement arm of our government care, that the people who supposedly are supposed to be keeping an eye on what's going on to let us know so we can cite the media, they don't seem to much care either. And in the midst of all this, remember, Kamala Harris was at the DNC headquarters at the time that that device was found outside, which means either it was a potential, there was an assassination opportunity, or it was just an opportunity for more propaganda. Either way you look at it, something is rotten in D.C. And I guess the question is, are the American people going to do something, or are we just going to sit around and say, okay, it's just more shenanigans. What do you expect? You know, how can you tell when a politician's lying? Their lips are moving. Ha ha. Yes, we'll just do more of the above. Not sure. But I think it's worth maybe paying a little bit of attention to. Now, listen, I have to take a break before I go on. But before I do, you know, yes, you had January 6th. There's been a lot of talk about COVID and the spike protein. I've got doctors. I'm listening to doctors telling me a spike protein shedding is real. Long COVID is real. And there's a lot that can happen, whether you've been vaccinated or not. Well, our friends at the wellness company have come up with a new tool. It's called Spike Support. It's daily spike support, and it's designed to be taken to prevent the effects of the spike protein. Whether you've been vaccinated, whether you've had COVID, whether you're getting it from shedding, it's a combination of ingredients designed to block and to dissolve the spike protein. It is backed by documented research. It is vetted by the chief medical board of the wellness company. So if you're concerned, take a look. Go to the wellness company, go to twc.health and take a look at spike support, the daily spike support, and their other programs. They've got some very nice products. Now, since you're an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off of those products and off your first month of membership if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So again, go to twc.health. Or check us out also at AmericaOutLoud.shop. But make sure you look at these products. And if you want some, give it a try. Make sure you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. You'll get 25% off of your products and 25% off your first month of membership.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. You've heard Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company discuss the harmful effects of spike protein in your body, and now they found the solution, the miracle enzyme natokinase. Their spike support formula contains natokinase, the most compelling and scientifically supported approach to safely clear spike protein out of the body. What's more, spike support is optimized with other all-natural, non-GMO ingredients, like dandelion root, to help prevent spike protein from binding to your cells. Everyone should take daily spike support so you can feel your best. America Out Loud listeners can go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our customers will tell you how our products have made a difference for them, from improving immune health and supporting gut health to reducing the appearance of wrinkles and even improving mind, mood, and energy. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study, and today, well, our title today is Steal From Me Once, Shame On You. Steal From Me Twice? Because we talked in the first segment about the pipe bomb issue around January 6th, which dealt with the shenanigans in the 2020 election, and let's face it, they got away with it once. What makes you think they won't get away with it again? Now, understand, there's a reason why, there are several reasons why incumbents tend to win so often. A lot of it just has to do with people's apathy, right? Oh, just vote for the guy that's still there. I don't really care. Incumbents tend to have more name recognition, but incumbents can also use their position to help their election. They're not supposed to, but they do. Well, take, for example, Executive Order 14019, an executive order signed by President Biden to meddle in the elections, to get the federal government to interfere with the elections and the electoral process. We've been pointing it out since it was signed. When was it signed? This was signed, well, again, it's been like, 3 years now since it was signed, back in 2021. And of course, it sounds great. We're going to help people vote. But I saw an interesting report. This came out of the Federalist that looked at, some of the ways this was being used to, again, help manipulate, maybe steal the 2024 election. For example, in March of 2022, the Federal Office of Personnel Management announced that federal employees can take up to 4 hours of administrative leave to vote in an election. Now, listen, I like the idea of getting time off to vote in an election. Interesting that almost no other Americans do, but the federal government, if you're a federal employee, you can get up to 4 hours of leave to go vote. Of course, then you've got the Department of Education. It was back in April of 22, they sent a notice from their Office of Post-Secondary Education to a bunch of universities saying, listen, under the Higher Education Act of 1965, you have to make a good faith effort to make sure that people can, that there are mail-in voter registration forms, that they're widely available to the students, to make sure the students get a chance to register. Now, I'm not surprised, right? Because colleges, universities, hotbed of Marxist, leftist, anti-progressive activities, they call themselves progressive. They're actually regressive. That's a whole other question, right? So now we're going to make sure that we get people registered in these Democratic strongholds, we'll call them. Then you have Indian Health Services, which falls under the Department of Health and Human Services. And they're working with the ACLU, Demos, and other left-wing organizations to make sure they register new voters among the Indians. Yeah, the Biden administration designated an Arizona-based IHS facility as an official voter registration hub. Was it just back in October? Then we got the Department of Agriculture. How's the Department of Agriculture in Vine? Well, if you're wondering what the agriculture has to do with voting, not much. However, the USDA's Food and Nutrition Service is encouraging all state agencies that deal with the child nutrition programs yet to provide promotional materials, voter registration cards, supposedly nonpartisan and non-campaign election information through the Department of Agriculture. They've even gone so far as to recommend that school food authorities that deal with the National School Lunch Program and adult daycare centers and emergency shelters that participate in the child and adult care food program, that they promote voter registration as well. And we got the Department of Homeland Security that updated its policy manual back in August to direct employees to increase awareness and expand access to voter registration during naturalization ceremonies. The guide specifically instructs U.S. Customs and Immigration Service employees to provide newly ordained citizens access to voter registration services at the ceremony. The Department of Labor has designated more than 2,300 locally operated American job centers as voter registration agencies. We've got the Department of Veterans Affairs. They sent a survey to more than 12 million veterans and their families to better understand their experience with the voter registration process. A Department of Interior analysis found ways that DOI could provide high-quality voter registration services. And last but certainly not least, the Department of the Treasury has incorporated voter registration efforts into the services provided through the Tax Clinic Assistance Program. So when you go to get your taxes done, you get help with your taxes, they're going to get you to register to vote. Now, you know what I didn't notice in any of these things? The fact that voter registration is not a federal issue. Nobody registers to vote with the federal government. You register in your state and local governments. In fact, you go down to a county, your voter registration card goes down to the county. So why is the Biden administration so interested in getting people to register to vote? Well, again, quantity over quality, but also notice how they are targeting Democratic strongholds, Democratic-leaning communities. You know, pretty much like, remember in 2020, was it Mr. Facebook, Zuckerberg, and his wife gave all that money to all those little state and local voting or election boards to help promote voter registration in Democratic strongholds. It's the same thing here. I hate to tell everybody, but getting people to register to vote is not spending money to get to do that, to collect taxes, to use taxpayer money to do this is not a power delegated to the United States. Voter registration is not a power delegated to the United States. This is embezzlement. And this is, again, they're manipulating the system because they're taking money that should be used, your tax dollars, that should be used other places. And they're using it to promote a campaign. Now, if the Biden campaign wants to do this all on their own, be my guest. But notice, no. This is an executive order. Now, if presidents before Biden used their position to help increase voter turnout and registration, sure. And it was wrong then, too. But the level, the brazenness, the extent to which this is being done tells us that the Republic is crumbling, that it's on the edge, it's teetering on collapse, not because this man is doing this, but simply because we're letting him get away with it. We're not complaining about it. We're not doing anything about it. But of course, that's not the only example. Look at all the cases against Trump. Most of them are garbage. I'm not a Trump fan. I thought he did some really good things and some really bad things when he was in office last. But he's an American citizen, and he deserves due process, which he's summarily being denied in multiple cases. But here's an interesting one. So here's former President Trump is claiming such a thing as presidential immunity in one of his cases. And this question will now be heard by the Supreme Court. It's supposed to be the week of April 22nd. So one of Trump's trials is kind of on hold until the court hears it. Now, I hate to tell you, Mr. Trump, There is no such thing as presidential immunity. Read through the Constitution. You will not find any form of presidential immunity. There is no place where it says a president cannot be arrested, tried, or convicted while he's in office or for something he does in office. Now, it's interesting. I've got another article that I've been working on that'll post soon about another case that dealt with, it was the USDA versus Kurtz, and it dealt with the question of sovereign immunity, which is basically presidential immunity is a form of sovereign immunity, and I blow the holes out of the water of the idea that there is such a thing in the United States. But this is just another attempt. This is Donald Trump's attempt to get out of an attack that I believe is it's politically motivated. It's vindictive. It is not based in any it's not based in any real legal sound legal judgment. It is it's a perfect example of a good prosecutor can get a grand jury to indict a ham sandwich. Basically for saying, we know you're going to the Capitol to peacefully and patriotically protest, somehow is an insurrection against the Constitution. And yeah, so neither side is really all that clean in this to say, wait a second, you can't prosecute me because I was president. Doesn't work that way. I know people say, well, you know, it does say that if he's impeached, that doesn't prohibit him being charged criminally. That's true. That's not immunity. That's saying that an impeachment is not a criminal trial. Therefore, it doesn't involve double jeopardy for him to then be tried in a criminal court. That's nothing about immunity. And speaking of courts, we have another court, and no surprise, a very Democrat-leading state that claims that Trump is ineligible to be president because of the 14th Amendment. I've dealt with the details of this time and time again. There is no evidence that he participated in an insurrection because there's no evidence that what happened on January 6th was an insurrection, an attempt to overturn the government. Not even actually, technically, for it to be insurrection under the 14th Amendment, they have to have tried to overturn the Constitution, which is not what they were doing. Now, a lot of people claim so because they've been told that a Congress meeting to certify the election is what the Constitution requires. It says no such thing. The only purpose Congress has in being there when the electoral votes are counted is to observe and then to react if somebody does not get a majority. That's it. The ballots are counted and the decisions are made. If nobody gets a majority for president, then the House must immediately go into session and vote by ballot based on the states. Right? Each state gets one vote. If nobody gets a majority for vice president, the Senate must immediately go into session and vote for vice president. That's their only purpose there. It's why I keep saying you need to understand the Constitution, because we understand that Congress plays no role in the counting of the ballots, only the choice should a majority not be won by a single candidate. You understand that there was no congressional purpose there that got disrupted. Congress was there to observe. And then if there's no attempt to overturn the Constitution, to prevent a constitutional process, if there's no attempt to overturn the Constitution, to simply say you're counting invalid electors, invalid certificates, is not an attempt to overthrow the Constitution. It was an attempt to enforce the Constitution. Not all of them. Some people had a lot of different ideas. But if you can be deemed a member of an insurrection when an insurrection never happened. By the way, why should it be any different, right? If you can be fined $350 million for damages when no damages in that case were incurred, again, we're in a very, very, very dangerous place. We are on a precipice. And I don't like the fact that every 4 years is the most important election ever. This is an important election. I absolutely agree. I think that the people have cried wolf so much about how important elections are that it loses its understanding. The question is, if you can be denied the right to run for president, not because you're disqualified, but because your political opponents dislike you, then we're not a republic anymore. If those in office can use that office to both promote themselves and attack their opponents, well, then we're not a republic anymore. And if the if simply questioning an election is now insurrection, then we're not a republic anymore. And if we're not a republic, we're not the land of the free. And if we're not the land of the free, what are we? Put another way, if we are not brave enough to stand up for what is right and what is true, even if we don't like the outcome, if we do, well, then we are no longer the home of the brave, which is why if we keep down this path, it won't be long before we are no longer the land of the free anymore. Now, listen, I want to shift gears. I want to take a look at a couple other things that are sort of related, but not strictly related to the election. I think they're going to be an important part of it. But before I do that, I have to take another break. I want to remind you that I go to AmericaOutloud.news every day to get news and information, because I get information from a lot of different sources. But now that knowledge is not powerful until it is put into action. So if you join me in going to AmericaOutloud.news, I want you to take those stories and articles, something that you hadn't heard of before. I want you to take maybe a podcast or a video that explains something in a way you've never helped you understand it before, better than ever. And I want you to do something with it. I want you to share them. It is the act of sharing this information that helps you join us to secure the blessings of liberty.
Well, the year 2024 is upon us, and it is our chance to get it right and take back a free America. AmericaOutloud.news is your source for uncensored and factual news that facilitates truth and unity among all Americans to restore that American dream we have always cherished. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. We're going to read and study the Constitution, teach your rising generation to be free. Today, we're talking about stealing. The title is Steal From Me Once, Shame On You. Steal From Me Twice. But the logical answer is shame on me. We've been talking about elections recently, but there's actually more to this than just elections. There are fundamental rights. The Declaration stated that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I think it was Lincoln that said, he talked about a government of, by, and for the people. The recognition of the supremacy of the Constitution and the rights it protects is paramount to us being the land of the free, which is why, when I read this article about a federal judge, you know, let me preface this. There are days when I would love the opportunity to stand up in front of one of these judges and say, really? Show me. To school them on the idiocy they've been taught. So back on February 29th, federal judge basically put a stay on the Texas law, Senate Bill 4, which allowed the Texas law enforcement to arrest people they believed were in the country illegally. Now, okay, here's the judge's response. Here's the way the judge, he says, this judge, David Ezra, opined, he ordered, that it violated the U.S.'s Constitution's Supremacy Clause that grants the federal government sole authority over immigration matters. Oh, really, Judge? Where? I'll give you a minute. You go searching through the Constitution. You show me where immigration, the power to regulate immigration, is ever given to the United States. Go ahead, look. I'll be on the radio for, go find out. You know what the answer is? It doesn't exist. Congress can establish a uniform rule of naturalization, but that's not immigration. Naturalization defines when and how you become a citizen. Immigration is whether or not you come here to live. Since that power was never delegated to the United States, much less sole authority, this judge constitutionally has his head up his backside. The Constitution does not say, and the Supremacy Clause says the Constitution and the laws of the United States made pursuing thereof. In other words, the law that he's calling for that says that gives the United States sole authority over immigration was not made pursuant to the Constitution. Therefore, it is not the supreme law of the land. Therefore, Mr. Ezra, you violated your oath of office. Blatantly, you ignored the Constitution and you made it up. The Constitution does not give the federal government sole authority over immigration. The laws Congress made to give them such was not made pursuant to the Constitution, so it's not the supreme law of the land. And the 10th Amendment quite specifically states that a power not delegated to the United States belongs either to the states or to the people. I'm kind of curious to see how Greg Abbott, the Governor Abbott, deals with this. Because this judge's opinion, this order is a blatant violation of the Constitution. Blatant, not even close. I know a lot of people, if you study constitutional law, you'll argue with me, but I point out constitutional law is not law. Courts don't make law. Congress makes law. Congress has the sole power to make law. Article 1, Section 1, Clause 1. Now, what's interesting is in his judgment, his order, He says, the judge says that the Supremacy Clause and the Supreme Court precedent affirm that states may not exercise immigration enforcement power except as authorized by the federal government. First of all, the Supremacy Clause says no such thing. And if you're worried about Supreme Court precedent, well, Supreme Court precedent says that an act contrary to the Constitution is void, sir. Barbie versus Madison, ex parte Siebold, Norton v. Shelby County. That action, sir, you've taken is void because it is contrary to the Constitution. I want you to show me, and I'm still waiting, show me where in the Constitution immigration is a power delegated to the United States. Because even here, he even points out, even quotes from the Constitution that the federal government, the United States, has the power to regulate commerce with foreign nations. But we're not talking about regulating commerce. You're talking about regulating immigration. He points out, says, establish a uniform rule of naturalization. That's true. Where is immigration? That's what I want to understand. He says, pursuant to this authority, Congress has created a complex and expansive system to regulate entry into and removal from the United States. That's immigration, sir. That is not commerce. It is not naturalization. You put the demise of your argument in your order. And I'm wondering when people are going to stand up and say, you just contradicted yourself. Too bad. So sad. No. All right, let's deal with a little bit of other news. So we've been hearing what's been going on in these democratically controlled cities with DAs and prosecutors that refuse to do their job, refuse to prosecute crime, refuse to prosecute arrests, and just let people go. And I want you to listen to this. This was Kamala Harris. I'm not sure what. She's on some, looks like a podcast or some program. And, listen to her own words.
Having progressive prosecutors, for example, who can show what is possible and then show that it works and show that, frankly, it's not contrary at all to public safety. In fact, it is a better way. It is a very effective way, among other ways, to achieve public safety.
I reject your reality and substitute my own.
Progressive prosecutors that aren't prosecuting crime leads to public safety? She must live in La La Land, because New York, San Francisco, most of California, actually, many of these large cities are rampant with crime. Crime is running amok. Businesses are leaving San Francisco because they can't afford the shoplifting. People are leaving these places because of the people who are released, committed, are accused of violent crime, are released on bail. Sometimes they're arrested, but they get these minuscule sentences, and they come back and harm people again. And she's saying this shows how that is actually better for public safety. Maybe it's fine for her because she gets driven around in an armored limousine everywhere. But how you live in reality and say that not prosecuting these crimes are better for public safety? She's an attempt to actually, in this case, to steal reality. Pay no attention to the mugger beating you up. Pay no attention to the murders, the rapes, the violent crimes. I'm telling you, it's a better way to do it, so just sit down and shut up. All right, let me try something else here. Congress is at it again. If at first you don't succeed to screw things up, well, just try harder. I laughed when I first heard this on the news. Congressional leaders, yes, with scare quotes, have come up with an extension to keep the government from shutting down. They've come to an agreement. They're going to stop the government from shutting down for 1 week. As if after these, 2 years? Well, year and a half now, of trying to act like, of claiming to want to act like adults and actually, actually pass appropriations bills. They've failed miserably. Now, in 1 week, they're going to figure it out. I'm sorry, this is the only good news. The only good news I see in this is that Johnson didn't immediately cave to a continuing resolution that was longer than a week. That's a step in the right direction. I can remember, was it the last two times? It was, you know, first they broke it up into two CRs so they could only deal with half the problem at a time. And then they passed one. They can see that at least they didn't just pass a big old CR. Now it's down to a week. But if they're going to keep stealing your money and failing to show any form of fiscal responsibility, then why should we trust them? They stole from you once. They've stole from you for decades. And it was their fault. But now we can see what they're doing. It's no longer simply their fault. We sent them there. And how many of us contacted them? You will not pass, and you'll not vote for appropriations for anything other than a vote. If you vote for a CR of any kind, you're gone. We will do everything we can to remove you from office. If we can't simply have you thrown out, we will vote the other way. Period. End of story. I don't care. They're not afraid of us because they've been stealing from us for decades and never paid the price. And I want to close out. This story is a little bit of a non sequitur. It's a little out there, but it was part wonderful example, part you've got to be kidding me. And it has to do with the New York Times. Now, the New York Times, the old gray lady, it even has on its masthead, all the news is fit to print. And for decades, people trusted the New York Times to do that, to give them all the news that's fit to print. Well, granted, I haven't trusted the New York Times, God, for decades now, but here's what we've got. So, a former editor at the New York Times wrote a piece in The Atlantic. And apparently, he and about a dozen other new hires at the time did what they called an icebreaker. Right? You'd have these orientation, and you'd do something to just kind of break the ice, get the people talking. It's easier to talk once you get people to start talking. So you do something that gets them talking, and then you go into the details. So this icebreaker was, okay, ask people, what is your favorite sandwich? That's all. What is your favorite sandwich? Apparently, Mr. Rubenstein likes Chick-fil-A. He said the spicy chicken sandwich at Chick-fil-A. He says he was scolded by human resources because he liked Chick-fil-A sandwiches. He was told by an HR representative, he says, we don't do that here. They hate gay people. He said, no, I'm not interested in the politics. I'm talking about the chicken. They don't care. Now, I have to ask you. Now, I like Chick-fil-A. It's a great sandwich. In fact, I'm a little worried because they just put up a new Chick-fil-A in the town right next to me, and that's just... It's very tempting to go down and get a Chick-fil-A sandwich. I've been good so far, but it's a temptation. But I have to ask you, what makes you say they hate gay people? The fact that they donate sandwiches to local events, that they support pro-life organizations, that they did cater. Events that were trying to prevent the homosexual marriage laws from going into effect? Does that mean they hate gay people? Now, why do I bring this up? One, it shows the obvious bias of the New York Times, which is one reason why I don't trust it. And if you trust it, you should take whatever you read in there with a grain of salt. Because you have to understand, if a person can be chastised by HR for simply liking a chicken sandwich in a meeting, do you think that's not coloring their editorial, maybe even their news? That's called stealing the truth. In this case, you let the truth be stolen from you, but it's still stealing the truth. And that's what I want us to consider. Whether we're talking about stealing the election, stealing the truth, trying to steal reality. They're stealing from you. The judge, Kamala Harris, New York Times, they're stealing from you. They're trying to steal from you the choice of who you want to vote for presidential electors for. To steal from you the ability to make an informed decision, to not have the government promoting among a certain population a voter registration, the federal government to meddle where they're not authorized to. They're stealing from you. Now, the question I have is, what are you going to do about it? I'm not talking about violence, right? We're not talking about violence, but I am asking you, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit back and let the thief come in and rob you blind? Or are you going to learn how to defend yourself? You don't have to use violence. You can defend yourself by getting informed, by seeking other points of view and seeing who has the evidence and who's just spouting rhetoric. By going to the Constitution, understanding the supreme law of the land. Then by exercising your right to choose representatives that will actually represent you, not some special interest group, not some political agenda. And then to do all you legally can to hold them accountable if and when they don't. You see, the fact that someone steals from you the first time is not your fault. But when they keep coming over and over and over again stealing from you, that is your fault. How can you tell when a politician's lying? Their lips are moving. The fact that you still vote for them, people you know are lying to you and stealing from you, that's your fault. And only you can fix that. And hopefully, you'll come back and join us here for the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. All the episodes go to podcast generally a day or two after they're heard on the radio. You can listen in your favorite podcast app, but do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Leave the episodes ratings and reviews, especially on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the Constitution Study so that they can share this information as well. You can find all the links you need at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news. But again, share them. This knowledge isn't powerful until you do something with it. The first thing you should do is to share it. By sharing this information, these articles, and this program, you help share the blessings of liberty to all of us who call this great nation home.